We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Sarah Spain going to join us there in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Knicks are hiring CAA's William Wesley, better known as Worldwide Wes, as Executive Vice President, Senior Advisor. I'll take it. I don't know what it means, but that guy's connected. I'm talking to Jason Kidd. Speaking of connections, Jason Kidd, Giannis.
What are you doing?
It's all happening. I'm doing it again.
You want? You think your big plan to get Giannis is the coach that
Jason Kidd
held him back until a new coach got there and made him an MVP?
I am hearing that Giannis and Jason Kidd remain very, very close, and he is the connector to perhaps getting Giannis to leave Milwaukee and go elsewhere.
I will say this for Jason Kidd. He protects his relationships quite well because I'm not really seeing it.
I'm not sure why he's in line for another job. His resume has a lot of bad on it.
Because he's a connector to Giannis. That's why.
Because
he's
not a connector to wins.
Yeah, but when you have Giannis, you get wins.
What do you remember from his coaching days? Spilling the soda on the court purposefully, right?
Yeah.
That was his big move.
It was a big move.
That's actually one of the few times that I could point to him and say, good coach.
Good coach.
I mean, can I have a moment, please? I mean, a moment.
Just you're always doing
Worldwide
this,
West.
You had that
Johnny
moment.
Walsh was your connector.
That
before.
Moment was the commercial break before when you thought you were getting Zion Williamson and then you ended up.
Don't even talk to me about that.
Bill Jackson was your connector before. Then getting Carmelo on your roster. Imagine all the people that are going to want to play with Carmelo.
You're leaving out DeAndre Jordan, who was supposed to be the connector to Kevin Durant. They connected in Brooklyn.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do the Knicks lead the league in failed connectors?
Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out of playing in the NBA's Orlando, Florida restart of the season. And finally, if the petition to rename the city of Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown, Ohio, in dedication to Guy Fieri is successful, Bud Light will provide even more flavor for all of the renamed state capital with free Bud Light seltzer. The petition has garnered more than 6,000 signatures. Ridiculous. Tune in tonight for Time for Change. We won't be defeated. The one-hour special will examine black athletes' experiences with injustice and the unifying role that sports continues to play in bridging the divide between law enforcement and people of color in America. SportsCenter anchors L. Duncan, Michael Eaves, and Jay Harris will be joined by ESPN college sports reporter and NBA studio host Maria Taylor to host the show. Time for Change will feature a series of roundtable discussions with athletes and other leading voices in sports and culture. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Sarah loves baseball, and I want to ask Sarah about this conversation that we've been having. 42% of Major League Baseball players will be paid $100,000 or less by Major League Baseball for going into the pandemic. And Chris and Billy were mentioning during the break, what about the grocery store employee who's also going into the sickness and making $10 or $11 or $12 an hour? And
good
the
point.
Thing that I always, well, you say it's a good point, but the thing I always tell you is that in order to make a lot of money, You have to have a talent that's not easily disposable or replaced by other people. Like, you got to be better at your job. Mm-hmm. You get stuck in bad jobs very often because you don't have the skills to get out and be a Major League Baseball player. So, Sarah, you hear that Major League Baseball players, 42% of them, are going to be making $100,000 or less this year, and think what? Okay, very good.
Wow.
And she's disgusted with it.
Not happy. Who knew?
The sound,
taking it really hard.
The sound was comedically perfect because it wasn't quite a landline, but it was also very clearly a line dropping at a comedically perfect time.
Yes.
So I don't know if she heard the question or not.
I mean, that was a
question. I have no idea what's happening. I don't know. My phone is being annoying. I'm sorry, guys. I think exactly what I thought the entire time during this, which is people keep siding with billionaire owners because they aren't jealous that they're playing a game and they don't know who they are and what they look like and what their salaries are. So, you know, people keep forgetting that not only are these baseball players the ones that have to put their future contracts at risk and their families and their lives and their health, but also that they're not getting 100% of their salaries. In the end, they're going to get like 37%. And we can all recognize that going to do our job for 37% of what we were going to be paid for a year is tough to wrap your head around. It's just that most people don't, once they've decided that baseball players are not an, you know, empathetic group, then they can't be convinced off that.
But Sarah, I think what people are looking at is baseball players had opportunities to take better deals and they turned them down and the commissioner forced the season upon them. So, I mean, they had opportunities to make more money. They said no, and that comes off as pretty selfish. Well, better deals across the board in terms of per player making more money.
Right. No, not necessarily, though. In the end, the total amount of money that Major League Baseball was willing to spend was roughly the same. It was just more games for a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
$1.5 billion was the same amount in the last two proposals. The games just changed.
Right.
So baseball was doing the entire time.
All right, I'm beginning to think this isn't going to work out for us.
All right, that's what she said is the podcast, if you want to check it out.
What is it that she said?
I don't know. If you want to find out what she said, that's what she said is the name of the podcast. Two failures and you're out. We can't have you around here anymore.
60-game season, look at that. I mean,
we can't keep doing that. I can't believe that we've gone this long without talking about Ben Roethlisberger saying at a Man Up Pittsburgh event that he had a porn and alcohol addiction.
I was able to speak with Sarah as I said goodbye to her. She's like, my point is, Bomani's right.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm good with that being like a governor of most things.
I might go there every time. I mean,
did you guys see what happened here when you talk about some of the institutional pressure that falls on somebody? Did you guys see what a former safety for the Bengals, George Iloka, said about being on the Bengals and what was happening with the owner of the team? Because Sarah just mentioned something here about owners being faceless. And while I know the name of the Bengals owner, I do not know what he looks like. If he walked in here right now, I wouldn't know what that human being looks like. And so anyways, one of the pressures that was happening here, to me it was interesting when put from this perspective, okay? George Iloka was wanting to kneel. And he says, quote, I always said I was not going to talk about that until I was done playing officially, but I really don't care. A lot of people, myself in particular, wanted to kneel. It was a big issue, and that was weighing heavily on my heart. It was weighing heavy on my mind, and obviously it was weighing heavy on a lot of people's hearts and minds across the NFL and across the nation, particularly with African Americans. It wasn't just me that felt some kind of way about that. And then there was a player meeting, and the Bengals were split on what to do. And he felt like he didn't have the support of his white teammates. The meeting left pretty much just like the African-American players feeling like we want to kneel. And then it was the white players telling us, you guys don't need to do that. It's almost like saying, go be oppressed somewhere else and keep it out of my sight, that sort of thing. So, you know, it was like, I understand that you don't get how we feel and we're not asking you to join us, but just stop telling us not to. Like, okay, you're not going to do this with us. That stinks. That hurts. You're my teammates. We're fighting, bodies next to each other. You're not going to do this with us. Okay. But now you're going to tell me I can't do it? I shouldn't do it? So the pressure is going to come from the owner and all my white teammates? And so you're going to tell me, and the commissioner and the league, and you're going to tell me, okay, I got to be out here on my own with this? And we were talking about disposable Publix employees. That sport can become awfully disposable if you don't fall in line like that. No matter how good you are, that sport can become something where you are disposable, as we saw with Kaepernick, no matter whether you're good or not or whether you play an important position.
You think those players would be willing to do it now?
I mean, it's much easier now.
Well, that's
it's
what I'm
all,
saying.
But it's right. All much easier now. Everything has shifted on this. You just heard we're doing tonight a 1 hour, you know, round table hosted by our black talent talking about change in America. Like, you're not noticing that? Like, that just got here. Like, that wasn't here 6 months ago. That's here because you have in this organization, black people finally feel free to, hey, let's go. Stop pressure. Stop with the institutional pressure of, I gotta be out here by myself on this stuff. Like, thanks for the white support. The reason Bomani was hopeful when this started is because he's like, holy bleep, that's a lot of white people behind us. Because that's how it has to be. Otherwise, you get what you got in the Bengals locker room, where the money is lined up against you. The white players are lined up against you. It feels like you're out there alone on an island.
Bomani's right. Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And the proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business. Because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at allbirds.com today.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quoting by all online at progressive.com. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Do you know who is giving you the Straight Talk today, Stugatz? It is one of our favorites in the history of giving Straight Talk. It is Irvin Magic Johnson. He has returned to Twitter and what he has placed on Twitter, and it was a horrible thing, Stugatz, that Magic Johnson got muzzled during his time as an executive. He cited it as one of the reasons. He wasn't allowed to just be Magic, and so he had to leave a Lakers job that was pretty good. He writes on Twitter, "The Lakers losing Avery Bradley is a tough loss and will make it more difficult for them to win the NBA championship."
Thankfully, we get those pearls of wisdom.
That's right. We get them back. Magic Johnson is back on Twitter. And put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Are you thrilled that Magic Johnson is back on Twitter? Kurt Schilling has deleted his Twitter account.
Yes.
After an outbreak. There was an outbreak between Trevor Bauer and Aubrey Huff. Trevor Bauer gave some advanced stats to Aubrey Huff about how Trevor Bauer was better than Aubrey Huff, and Aubrey Huff put his two rings on Twitter.
Attaboy.
Yeah, and said something about participation trophies, and then it was pointed out to Aubrey Huff that he hit 111 in those postseasons, and so that those rings were...
Yeah, but do we know how big those hits were? I mean,
one out of every 10 times Aubrey Huff could be counted on to be someone who could give you something better than someone who gave you nothing out of 10 times. So he hit 111 in the postseason, and I'm not sure, you guys are going to help me with this, I'm not sure how Curt Schilling became the collateral damage in this. I imagine Curt Schilling rushed to the defense of Aubrey Huff, and then it became a tag team. Like Aubrey Huff tagged in Curt Schilling, but I don't know what Curt Schilling did to then delete his Twitter account, because Curt Schilling for a while has been very loud and very public with viewpoints that can be seen as terribly polarizing.
I'm still investigating, but Curt Schilling is trending in the United States right now on Twitter. So I clicked on the name, and it was indeed, good guess, Dan, it was Huff and Schilling versus Trevor Bauer. Now I'm trying to get to the bottom of what Schilling did to have to delete his Twitter account.
Yeah, he got that Schilling. Schilling just eliminated his Twitter account. People had gathered to watch the Trevor Bauer Aubrey Huff show, but we will have more information for you on that as details develop. Tim Kirkchen will be joining us in 10 minutes, and I wanted to get into Ben Roethlisberger, Stugat, in a Man Up Pittsburgh meeting, talking about his faith, about where he is in life. And he has been through some stuff through his eyes, where I would imagine you have to crawl through some bleep sometimes to find God, to find love, to find peace. And Ben Roethlisberger is admitting that he had a porn and alcohol addiction. And I don't think of Ben Roethlisberger as being that kind of revelatory. I don't think of Ben Roethlisberger as being someone who is willing to be that vulnerable with people. But good on Ben Roethlisberger for finding something that allows him a little more peace here late in his quarterbacking life, because it can't be easy to get up in front of people. Or maybe it is if your faith is strong enough, and tell them about your weakest of weaknesses.
I mean, naturally, those are hard admissions to make. Said it didn't make him a very good husband. It didn't make him a very good father. I'm surprised, and you're right. It takes a strong person to come out and admit those things. I'm surprised that he did it. I'm wondering why he decided now was the right time to do it.
Well, he wasn't doing it in an interview. He was doing as part of a bit of a religious service. He was doing it as something that was faith-based. And I have said before, and been wrong, Stugatz, when I have said before that if you're sort of trying to live by a religion's codes, generally speaking, that can be a good thing. But there have been all manner of wars conducted in the name of religion. So that's a bit too absolute. But if Ben Roethlisberger is on a path where he is healing some of his weaknesses, and if that path is to reveal those weaknesses to others by way of the healing, then yeah, it'll end up making you stronger and more, you know, truth will set you free, tranquil as well.
He discussed his Christian journey and the fact that he was baptized 3 years ago. So this seems like a, you know, kind of trying to admit to all my demons and try to move forward with my life here in a religious way.
Not a lot of people are with it, though, because there's one of the things surrounding Ben Roethlisberger that seems to be missing from all this other news, and a lot of people want to hear about that. I know Ben is on his journey. Ben has also unblocked a lot of Twitter accounts. It seems as though there is a public relations effort out there to get the new Big Ben out there, and a lot of people, some may say justified, are saying we don't want to hear it still.
Well, that would be disappointing, because I would think that the tenets of the religion that Ben is now espousing has the kind of forgiveness in it. And I understand during a Me Too movement why people wouldn't want to forgive what he got suspended for 6 days. I understand why you wouldn't want to forgive that. But if a man is copping, He didn't admit to a rape addiction. He admitted to a porn and alcohol addiction, and I'm not forgiving him on possible rape. I'm just saying that if he is on a path that is a safer one for him after learning whatever he's learned in the public eye with whatever the mistakes are, that I think that that can be saluted without cynicism. Like, I don't...
On Twitter these days.
I mean,
No. I mean, cynicism lives on Twitter.
Okay, but that's how we're going to do it, though? So we're not going to apply any forgiveness. We are going to convict him as a rapist and say, you can't be contrite, you can't learn about your mistakes, you can't... What? It needs to be better than this. It needs to be better than admission in, not a private setting, but a setting where you're talking about your faith and you're talking about your vulnerabilities. You're not admitting to crimes. I understand if you think...
But you're controlling the message.
I mean, yeah, but... Okay, fine. But it... So you're telling me... So what's the path to forgiveness? What's the path to public relations rehab? There is no such thing. There, it's not allowed. It's not in where we are with the poison well of social media. There's always going to be some people who say no forgiveness, and we're going to keep coming after people.
Well, I think in his mind, he's asking for forgiveness of things he felt he did wrong. Obviously, with that allegation, he has his side to it, feels that there's nothing to apologize publicly for. And yeah, that's 2020 social media in a nutshell.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tim Kirchick going to join us there. Here's your Sports Center update. The Knicks are hiring CAA's William Wesley, better known as Worldwide Wes, as Executive Vice President, Senior Advisor. Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out of playing in the NBA's Orlando, Florida restart of the season. Finally, Jurassic Park is currently the number one movie at the box office 27 years after the original release. Heck of a run. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Our friend Tim Kirchin is with us now, and if you have any baseball questions, we might get to him at 786-456-4833. 37. What are the interesting things about the agreement and the fact that baseball, to you, Tim, and thanks for making time for us, that baseball is now coming back?
Well, I'm just thrilled, Dan, that we have at least a roadmap. You really can't figure out how this is going to work until you know when it's going to start and when it's going to end. So barring any sort of change here, and it could happen with COVID, you know, they'll spring training July 1st and the games 23rd of the 24th and end September 30th and the World Series ends October 31st. Once you have those in place, then you can do a few things. What interests me a little bit, I'm still not positive why the players didn't accept the proposal and then took the 60 games. I think, or implemented the 60 games. I think they're just trying to set it up to file a grievance, but from what I'm told, there's no guarantee they're going to win a grievance, and those grievances take, you know, years sometimes to be heard. So I'm still a little confused why they just didn't agree. I think it would have helped the morale for everyone to say, hey, we agreed on something. Instead, it was a season that will now be imposed instead of agreed upon.
Timmy, any rules in the 60-game season, the proposal, that bother you?
Well, I'm really old, Stugatz. I'm 63, so I'm not in favor of putting a runner at second base to start the 10th inning. I totally understand how people say, look, 18-inning games don't do anyone any good. And I understand that. But some of the most enjoyable games you'll ever see are when Darwin Barney gets off a home run in the 19th inning of a game, and he's an infielder. But I'm just hoping this doesn't gain momentum and that people really like this idea for 60 games, and then starting next season, we're going to have a runner on second to start the 10th inning every game. That's something that would offend me as a 63-year-old who's covered baseball for as long as I have.
If that offends you, I imagine Billy is back out here saying that there needs to be, this is the perfect time to showcase a Stugatz idea. Billy, do you want to tell Tim Kirkchen about the Stugatz idea? Let's see how this one goes over.
Oh, Dan, Timmy's well aware of the magic at bat, and I think that he knows this would be the absolute perfect season for us to unleash the magic at bat and the trampoline warning tracks and the ponds in the outfield, because it's kind of like an experimental season. We're going to see what works, what doesn't work, and then you know what? Next year, if the magic at bat works, we'll implement it.
Explain the magic at bat to him without assuming that Tim Kirkchen knows what the magic at bat is.
And the audience, let it be stated.
Jesus Christ, Billy.
Let it be stated, though, Timmy, I will explain the magic at bat. I think one time per game, a manager should be able, like, let's say Mike Trout comes up in the eighth, that, and, you know, they're trailing by a couple of runs. And Trout, even batting out of order, the manager one time per game can use his magic at bat. So even though Trout batted in the eighth, the manager can still trot him out there in the ninth inning. And I will tell you this, Dave Roberts, Dodgers manager, was presented with my idea to me, and he loved it.
Yeah, he was being polite. Just like what you guys told me that Jim Leland thought it was a great idea to have a trampoline. What are you kidding me? No. All of these are really bad ideas. Seriously, I always thought one, and I'm in the minority on this, I always thought one of the coolest things about baseball is the star player doesn't take the last shot of every game, like Michael and LeBron and Larry and those guys. It means all 25 guys actually have a chance to be the hero of the game tonight. If with the magic at bat, Trout could be the hero all the time, but they could just walk him anyway, which you can't really do in the NBA unless you're going to foul a guy on purpose. And if he's Larry Bird, he's making them both anyway. So I think it's a really bad idea, but I agree with you. Now's the time to try stuff. That's just way beyond things.
See? So Tim agreed with me, Dan. It's a good idea. And you can't disagree with this either, Tim. This is clearly going to be a made-for-TV situation, right? Because there's not going to be any fans in the stands. So what Stugatz didn't tell you about the magic at bat is that you don't know that it's going to be Mike Trout. You can assume it, mm-hmm. but you have to see who comes through the plume of smoke, because he didn't tell you about the plume of smoke
exactly
that gets
right.
thrown by the manager, and then someone comes out.
And imagine the criticism if they didn't use it with Mike Trout.
The plume of smoke.
Oh, no, but I mean, Timmy, the plume of smoke is the whole thing. I
mean. It feels like we're saying the same thing here, Timmy.
Yeah. Yep. So you agree,
yes,
right?
When he says the plume of smoke incredulously, and Tim Kirkchen sounds like he wants to fight you, yes, that is him agreeing with you. Do you believe, Tim Kirkchen, that Matt Patricia looks like the guy in a competitive eating challenge who hits the wall, wipes the sweat from his brow, turns his cap backwards, pumps up the crowd watching before he takes an aggressive bite out of the quadruple bypass bacon cheeseburger?
Isn't he a pirate in a fish restaurant?
He is also a pirate in a fish restaurant. Yes, Is Dana Holgorsen, does he look like the creepy gas attendant in the 80s slasher flick warning a group of teenagers not to go to the campsite in the woods? I like this one. Ready, Stugatz? Does Manu Ginobili look like the violinist at an expensive restaurant at a table where he is undesired? And when you give him a look like take a hike, he wiggles his eyebrows vigorously like, yeah, I know I'm good. Does Mike Leach look like a Renaissance fair vendor who asks you, would you like some mead? Then realizing that his supervisor is watching, sighs loudly, rolls his eyes, and says, "Would thou like some mead?"
Save that one.
Save that one.
Frame it.
Does Pete Carroll look like the father-in-law who you like more than your wife and your kids? Oh, a snort. A magical snort right there. Thank you for the magical snort.
Timmy, pressing question of the day. Do they make him like Tony Gwynn anymore?
No, Tony Gwynn was a magician. He, 94 season, he used one bat like the entire year. Just held it out against certain tough lefties like Jeff Passero, who might get in on him. He was absolutely great. And years ago, an American League team hired a rocket scientist to do a study on exit velocity. And among the findings was Tony Gwynn wasn't a great hitter. He was a lucky hitter because his exit velocity wasn't up there with the best hitters of the time. Little did that guy know that the magician Tony Gwynn could hit a hard ground ball between short and third almost any time he wanted. So, yes, I think he's underrated in baseball history because he could run. He stole over 50 bases in a season, multiple gold gloves, and the tiniest hands I've ever seen on a great player. Tiny. Mine are twice as big as Tony Gwynn's hands.
What?
Shocking.
What?
Tony Gwynn was a four-year star at San Diego State basketball, and he told me he had zero chance of ever palming a basketball. That's how little his hands were. And because he had those tiny hands, that's why he used the smallest bat I've ever seen on a major leaguer. It was like 32.5 inches, 30.5 ounces. It was tiny, but he loved the control of the bat, but he needed a tiny bat because his hands were so small.
Man, Mike was right. They don't make them like Tony Gwynn anymore.
He's totally right. The total opposite of Julio Franco's bat. Thank you for being on with us, Tim. We appreciate you being on with us.
Hubie Brown.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. It is time for the movie of the day. It is brought to you by Redbox. It is Lionel Messi's 33rd birthday today in honor of the most overrated soccer player in the history of the sport. My top three overrated movies of all time.
Wow.
Number three. Some consider it a classic. Most consider it a classic. I consider it an overrated classic. Number three, Gone with the Wind. Number two, simply because I cannot figure the movie out. It might be good, but I have no idea. Inception. What happened? And number one, Dances with Wolves. Just 3 hours of complete nothing with no payoff because Costner never dances with a wolf. Redbox has top entertainment when you need it most. 12 strangers wake up in the middle of nowhere for one very specific purpose. The Hunt, starring Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. I watched it. Pretty good.
Fraud.
Does Sean McVay look like the guy at the bonfire with the guitar? Does Dana White look like a porn parody Lex Luthor? Speaking of which, Mike, what's going on with my fight against Dana White? Are the lawyers allowing it, or what's happening here with you dealing with liability issues?
We were supposed to have a call last week that got rescheduled to Monday. Then Monday's call got rescheduled, so Thursday is the call.
By the way, baseball off to a good start. Charlie Blackman, Colorado Rockies star, has tested positive for COVID.
It's honestly getting to the point now where you're kind of low-key rooting for your players to test positive for asymptomatic positive results because, like, look at Denver. Jokic, well, hopefully you build up the antibodies and we don't have to worry about that coming at a more inopportune time.
That's right, yeah. Jokic has tested positive as well. I don't want to gloss over the fact that the marching band to nowhere has yet to execute a call, never mind the actual event, that we have yet to be able to successfully execute a call that has now been pushed off for 2 weeks to ask the lawyers at Disney before we go any further with this, whether any of this is going to be allowed.
Feels like a couple of quick steps and we'll get this thing done.
Does Mike Leach look like the head of the neighborhood watch committee who, after organizing another meeting for his fellow members, realizes that he again is the only one there?
I mean, the Leach category, man.
Does Jason Garrett look like the last action figure in the playset whose hands don't fit any of the included weapons?
You had me an action figure.
Yeah, he does look a bit like an action figure. Don Van Natta has another one of his backstories, and it is going to be the nostalgic event. Look at Mike Ryan applauding back there.
Mm.
The Decision. We're going to go back. The made-for-TV special that so many people mad at LeBron James. We're going to go back there and, you know, it wasn't but 9 or 10 years ago, but it seems like ancient history. A lot has changed since then, and we're going to revisit that moment. Backstory with Don Van Natta.
I've learned that John Skipper might be a bit of a star of this special coming up. It's not a full 30 for 30, but it should be pretty interesting.
Have you guys heard the commercials for that special that we've been airing? I mean, here's something that's bothering me about that. They have a clip of the late David Stern, God rest his soul, saying that it was a poorly executed, and then he's like, and poorly produced special. Listen, you can be mad at a lot of people about the decision. No need to take it out on the producers, okay? They did the best they could with the situation. I was watching it. I thought it was a great special. Obviously, I'm a Heat fan, so I thought it was even better than most might think. I don't know that the production was an issue or the issue with the last or with the decision that we have to be going after the producers.
The late David Stern hammering the producers from beyond.
He said, God rest his soul. David.
Yeah, he did. Yep. Which gives him carte blanche. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Can you say whatever you want after you've said, God rest his soul at Lebatard Show? We're going to talk to Henry Abbott in the next hour about, you know, an NBA owner who kind of has mafia family ties.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.